8.
Any last words?
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome, everybody, to Chuck and Lou. We are here on Sunday evening, and we have one of our probably our best guests to the date. We have Mr. Earl Austin Jr. Earl, how's it going?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing fantastic. Let's go ahead and start. We're going to start marking you with some questions here. They'll be SLU related, basketball related, life related. And Lou, why don't you go ahead and start?
Okay, so if you could step in and coach one high school in the area tomorrow, who would it be and why? And this has to do with tradition, not this year's current roster.
I don't know. Good question. That would be easy, though. McClure North.
That's a good answer. North Star for life.
Yeah.
And then follow-up question.
AD, right?
So if you want to be an AD in the area, McClure North.
No, it's my home school.
So, you know, one that's just going to probably hit about 5 people in the area, but Troy Robertson plays Chris Sloan in one-on-one. Who wins? They're playing to 4. Everything's worth 1 point.
I'd say, I don't know, it'd be... That game would go into triple overtime.
I think so. They'd be bad. And then go to Humphreys and come back.
Yeah. Good Lord. I mean, they're both of them.
They're the same dude.
They're such good basketball players, but neither one can shoot.
And neither one. And then they probably get tired and take water breaks. That heater shoot. Break.
Neither one can shoot.
Oh, man.
They were both very.
They probably have their shirts off by the end of it, just sweating, and they can barely get to 4.
Sloan had a little more size. Troy, a little more crap.
How about the dunk against Channing Frye?
That was amazing.
He lives his life off that.
It is.
You know, him and I went to school together. Uh-huh. And at parts of our career at SLU, you know, we stayed together a lot because one of his good buddies, Kyle Wart, was a good baseball player for us, and they went to high school together. And so him and I were good buddies. This was Chris Sloan.
Okay, Chris.
Went to SLU when I went to SLU. And then, you know, Troy, obviously, him and I being good buddies. You know, we reached out to Troy to get on this program tonight with you. And either I got the wrong number or he didn't respond to me. So you better get to him because I know he's part of your sponsor, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Him
yes,
and Tressa?
Yes, he is. We really appreciate that for the Billiken Earl Time Update.
Absolutely. So while we're talking about the Robertsons, let's talk about that game years ago. Roy Williams brought Ryan in to play SLU,
mm-hmm.
and tell us what happened with that game. Because Troy was playing at SLU,
Troy
but he brought Ryan.
There. Ryan was a senior.
And Roy always did that for his seniors.
Yes,
he'd take his kids back home. And what happened?
St. Louis U actually won the game. It was on ESPN.
It was.
Wow.
Then Kiel Center,
19,000-20,000 people. Justin Love went off.
Just crazy.
Had 24 points. And Troy upstaged his brother.
He did.
Even one year, Ryan went for a layup, and Troy grabbed him and pulled him hard, fouled him, and pulled him to the ground. It was amazing. But, yeah, and we won, and it was an amazing game. And it was probably one of the highlights for myself and Ramrick. Everybody came to the game because it was
Spoon.
Yeah. Rams were in town then, Blues. It really mattered. So after the game, everybody's excited. Myself and Ram are getting ready to do the post-game show with Spoon, and Spoon comes right there. He's sitting between us. And Jack Buck and Bob Costas come over.
No way.
To Gladhand Spoon. Everybody, you know, Spoon was a man.
Spoon was a man.
So without even saying anything, myself and Rammer just looked at each other like, you think what I'm thinking? Yeah. So we took off our headsets and gave them up. So the Billiken postgame show for that night after we beat Kansas on KMOX was Charlie Spoon, Howard, Jack Buck, and Bob Costas.
Wow.
That was the postgame show. They went on for about 15 minutes.
We could probably stop the show right now and be done with it. That's awesome.
Phenomenal.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. That is amazing. Yeah. That's amazing. I was probably down in Casa Gallardo with my parents going nuts.
That was a great night, though.
I remember being a West grad, you know, because everyone's waiting for Ryan to come out. And obviously, I'm sure Roy's just getting in their butt, right?
Mm.
So Troy comes out, and we're all like, yay, Troy. And then here comes Ryan, and we're like, oh, boy. You know, we had to try to pump him up a little bit. So who was your favorite SLU player to watch all the time? Here are some of mine. And I go back and date myself a little bit, but my favorite SLU player of all time was H. Waldman, just because...
H-Bomb.
From Vegas, right?
Yes.
And he was just fun to watch. And then another couple guys, Donnie Dobbs was one of my favorites. And Marky Perry was actually, I think he was in school when I was there playing baseball. And I think I had this vision. I could be totally wrong, but I think we beat Louisville with him on our home floor. And I rushed the floor.
Yep.
I was one of those kids.
You're like asking me, like a parent, who's your favorite kid.
Right.
But yeah, Marky has a special spot because.
And then obviously Larry
Marky hit like 5 or 6 last second shots, buzzer beaters that season.
It was a great year because he was just always
It was the most amazing run of an individual Billiken in terms of just clutch performance. Yeah, Louisville was ranked 2 in the country and on a 19-game winning streak.
And who did they have at the time?
They had Reese Gaines was their main guy, 6'6", came from Wisconsin.
I just remember that night because I think it was a weeknight.
Yeah, we were down 7 with about 2.5, and Marquis
scored the last 8. And the place kind of cleared out a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Marquis closed the last 8 and won the last, and we won that game.
That's awesome.
Oh, like you say, Dobbs was, you know, I love 6'3", big body guy.
Just big, I like the big body guys.
Big guy. Just so many. Kwame Mitchell, you know, H. Claggett.
That whole group.
We were averaging 80 a night shooting threes. Watching Larry, though, was another
was
level.
Was that special?
That was special for 1 year because that was, you know, usually when you watch McDonald's All-Americans, you're watching them on TV at Duke and Kentucky and North Carolina.
And you're five feet away from them.
Yeah, for once, we were going around town thinking, we got one.
Right.
And that kid, he's ours.
Larry?
The one going 38.
And
to watch Larry do his business all year long was amazing. And he really brought national
attention
to St. Louis.
Absolutely.
Just getting that one, and not only getting him, but he went out and performed like
that. That's so different from like Mizzou last year. You know, we got a guy that performed and was there all year and didn't get hurt, and that put us on the map.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, just like had Michael Porter been able to play that one year,
it would have done it. He would have done the same
just
thing.
It would have just been a phenomenal deal
because they would have lost by 50, but they were up 15 last
year. But I'm saying, it's rare to get one of those guys.
Ed Slew.
At SLU,
you know,
to get one of those guys. But we've had so many. I mean, just this last, the last run with Majerus and Cruz, the Sons of Majerus were phenomenal to watch.
Yeah, that's man,
Jordan,
to watch.
Jordan Jett was that. Like
Jordan Jett was one was of my like favorites. Of all time.
He was like Marquis. He had so many closeout games, and it was the same move all the time. Jordan was going to his left lane,
and he's laying it in.
And he did it at UMass. He did it at LaSalle. He did it in the tournament against NC State in overtime when we won the game. Game winning.
Oh,
you could just name. Same play. Jordan going left, going to the bucket.
He lays it in the broom.
Yep, same way. So yeah, just all great guys.
Lou, what else we got?
Who is your favorite SLU player to watch practice and why?
I mean, just practice. Like, who just got after it?
Oof. I'm trying to think who would watch over the years. You know, H was fun to watch, and Brian Highmark.
Right.
He, you know, just get his work, it. Just shoot the ball. I didn't watch practice as much. I like to go like individual workouts.
Uh-huh.
You know, Kwame was fun to watch when individual workouts.
He was a really hard worker,
tough, where we get that handles together,
right.
And you know, Conklin made his. That he called it the Conklin summer, where he just improved his jump shot and his free throw
shooting.
Turned
his whole career around in summer.
Yeah, you know, just I enjoy watching that part. You know, that the player development, and so many guys took it. The guys that really, you could tell the guys that took it seriously. There's another guy, Kevin Lish, was another one.
Right.
You know, him and Tommy Liddell, the 6'8" backcourt, were
fun to watch.
They were fun to watch.
So your time at SLU, there's been a lot of good head coaches. And obviously, you know, we have the Soderberg factor here in our backyard.
Sure.
Give us your, you were in it. And the funny thing was, I was in it too, because I played there, and I actually would skip baseball workouts. We had four workouts, and I would sit in the stands and watch their practices because I wanted to be a basketball guy.
Mm-hmm.
But talk about that whole transition with, you know, Soderberg comes in, he has a 20-win season, then he's gone, and Majerus. Help us with that story and kind of what was going on there.
Well, I didn't know what happened either, because it happened, usually when coaching changes happen, they happen right around Final Four, the end of the season, and that late March, early April, that's when jobs open. But this happened middle of April, late April.
Weird.
So I didn't know. I had no
idea. So you had no insight?
No idea. People call. I got a call from one of the radio stations, local radio stations. Hey, Earl, could you talk on and talk about SLU's coaching change, Brad Soderberg being fired? I was like, huh? What?
Right.
That's
how you find out.
That's how I found out. That's how I found out. Because, like I said, who fires a coach at the end of April?
He was doing pretty good things.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Obviously, we have Kramer here.
Mm-hmm.
It was a crazy deal because Kramer actually, a story that he probably would never tell that I'll go ahead and tell. You know, he went to SLU and looking for somebody.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's how Kramer is.
Yeah.
You know, he was down there. I think, who was the AD at the time? Was it Biondi?
Cheryl Levick.
Oh, was she there?
Yeah.
But I remember Kramer was like, I need to know why.
But I don't think
just
it wasn't Cheryl's call either, from what I understand.
Right. It just kind of.
As I said, Cheryl didn't, she didn't. That's what I did. It came from nowhere. So I really,
weird deal.
It was weird how it happened, you know?
And after that, obviously, Majerus comes in and does great things. How was he as a coach?
Greatest basketball mind.
Right?
Yeah. As a basketball mind. He's a different dude.
How was he as a person?
A different dude.
Right?
He's a different
guy. Was he nuts?
Huh? I don't know. No, he's just different. I mean, yeah. He was just socially different. I mean, he was.
Did he live at the Chase?
Yeah. He always lived at the hotel. He just did his own thing. And
just kind of on his own.
He was just his own. He was a different cat.
Was he a good X and O guy?
The best. I mean,
just the best, right?
A basketball mind. He's a genius.
That's all I've heard.
On the other level. 20 guys that I know who've coached for 20, 25 years.
He's just a different level. Good high school coaches.
Good college coaches. They say they spend time with him and they walk out thinking, I don't know anything about this game. He was amazing. Like I said, he was a different dude, no doubt about that. But maybe like guys who are that kind of at that level are different. It could be business, it could be entertainment.
There's just no matter what your thing is, there's always guys that are better.
Just different. He's different cat. But yeah, basketball. I mean, he could sit in the whole court and you just sit and listen to him talk and you just don't say a word.
And then we had Lorenzo Romar.
Yeah.
Tell me about him.
Romar was great. I mean, Romar provided me with, I could speak with my greatest highlight as a broadcaster in 28 years.
What was that?
When we won in Memphis, we were the 9 seed in the conference tournament.
Is this when Kenyon Martin broke his leg?
Yeah, he broke his leg against us. They were the top seed, but we ended up winning the Conference USA tournament, the Miracle in Memphis, right. 4 games in 4 days.
Wow, that's awesome.
But the highlight was, you know, remember, we were off the air, so we're watching them cut the nets down in the pyramid in Memphis, and you know, they went to one side, then they went to the other, and they got done next to, you know, Lorenzo calls, "Hey, Earl Rammer, come over here.
Get over here.
Yeah, come on
here."
I was like, "Be like us? Yeah, come
Earl over here.
Yeah, come over here. Yeah, so come up here and get a piece of that." So, you know, I'm a basketball. You know, I love the history. I love the traditions
and
of basketball.
And you've dreamt of doing this before. No, I do.
Yeah. But not as a player, but as an announcer. But, you know, cutting the nets down is sacred.
Right.
That's the team. That's the coaches. You guys put the work in for a season to win a championship.
But you're part of it.
That's your moment. And then for Lorenzo to share that moment with me and Rammer, I had that piece of net
in your pocket for three months.
I lost it in one of my moves, but for at least 20 years,
right?
I still had that thing because I recognize how sacred it is to cut a net down after a championship.
I didn't
shoot a jumper. I didn't grab a rebound. I didn't do a defensive slide.
Right.
But to share that, you know, it was probably like amazing.
Me when you watch teams, you know, they win the Final Four and they're cutting the net down. Mm-hmm. You almost cry.
Absolutely.
You know, it's an emotional moment. Kids get to do that. That's an awesome story.
Yeah,
that's awesome. You know, one thing, you know, Lorenzo was there when I was there playing baseball. And a funny story I have, we were the baseball guys, we always thought we were really good basketball players. And my guys who I played with thought I was really good because I could hit shots. Mm-hmm. And we would be on the road and we'd be screwing around, you know, and I'd hit shots. So one day, Lorenzo was like, "Hey guys, come on in. If you guys want to get some conditioning in, go ahead and play, you know, 5-on-5. And our coach was like, you know, "Go ahead, we'll play 5-on-5. Well, Zoe wanted to play. And all of a sudden, you know, they're all like, "Well, who's going to guard Zoe? Who's going to guard Coach? And they're like, "Steinhoff, you are. You're the only one here who's played basketball. We got these baseball dudes running around." So I'm like, "All right, I got Zoe." So we play to 18.
Oh, boy.
We lose. He has 16 of the 18 and just kills me.
Zoe's still play, I think.
I mean, he was phenomenal at his age at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I left there and I thought, that was the most demoralizing 34 minutes of my life. This guy just dropped 16 of 18 on me. And my baseball players were like, "You're not as good as I thought you were. Zoe just dropped you." Like, I mean, he was crossing me. Mm-hmm. I was tired. My ankles hurt. I mean, that was the worst ass kicking I've ever gotten by another guy.
Zoe played in the league a long time.
I forgot about that until I went home and Wikipedia'd him. I'm like, no wonder he kicked my butt.
Yeah, Zoe played the Pac-10, played in the league. He was good. He played on those... I don't know if Troy played with him in those Missouri Athletic Club teams.
Yes, and Troy said he just could play.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Lou, what else we got?
Going back to high school, do you think the state should separate public versus private?
No.
No?
No, I've never been a proponent of that.
I think it would, you know, people ask
I can
me
see, I, no, I can understand.
Right.
No, I understand how public schools feel. Believe me. Yeah,
but I'm a public school guy.
Yeah,
and people ask me.
It's hard.
I just don't think it'd be as entertaining.
No, it just wouldn't be fun. But enough public schools. Now it's harder for the smaller public schools. If you're 1A, 2A, it's harder, no question. But you know, I
just think it wouldn't be boring.
Yeah,
you know, and
I mean, you watch Webster go back to back.
That's what I'm
saying. You see Deshaun. I mean, obviously Incarnate Word girls are tough, but you see dominant public schools. I mean, you saw Ladue football this year, and you saw, I mean, you see enough.
Well, and when
really
when
good.
The public school beats the private school, that makes our year sometimes, you know, and that would just be
that
all taken
been,
out.
That would have been a state championship for us. We could have beat John Burroughs in soccer.
Yeah. And the only thing that I don't like about that is, you know, we've talked about this before, those John Burroughs kids in soccer 15 years from now are going to forget who they probably even beat in the finals. And for our guys, if they'd have won, it would have made their life.
Yeah.
You know, so there's difference to it, but I think it would just be boring if they did that.
That makes a difference with IFC soccer. Now, I've seen public schools break through in soccer, and they go four classes.
Soccer's the hardest.
It's hardest, but I mean, Webster has won back-to-back state championships, Parkway Central.
Right.
You know, Francis Howell, I think they had a really nice run. I know they got upset this year. They were a good team, but they got upset by Zumwalt
West,
you know.
Zumwalt West was a weird team this year.
But I mean, so you're seeing public schools break through. And obviously CBC and the Smet played in the 4A, but I mean in different classes, which is good as well. You know, football, I mean basketball, you see your share of, you know, of dominant. Like I said, you saw, like I said, it was Webster Groves back to back, and then it was Grandview out of Kansas City, a city school.
I just think it would be boring in my mind. You know, at times when I get my butt kicked by him, I'm like, at the same time, it's just not the way I grew up.
But I had a brother and sister, both won state championships in basketball. My sister won at McClure North, public school, and my brother won a championship in 95 with Cardinal Ritter, a private school. So I've seen
both. Were there, but that's when the Warriors won in 95.
Yes. Yeah, that was the same year.
Uh-huh. So moving on here. Let's talk about Jay Blossom for a minute. You know, he's retiring, 500 wins. What's your relationship with Jay? And at the same time, how much has Jay brought to the St. Louis area? And how has he done this with Webster being on top for so long? And at the same time, another question is he one of those coaches kind of like a Terry Hollander that probably had to change his style because it's just different now? But what has he done for
Jay's
you?
Jay's great.
He is awesome.
I love talking basketball with Jay. We always go back and forth because he's a big Mizzou guy. And he knows I'm a SLU guy, and we go back and forth. But I just, you know, he's great for the game. He's so enthusiastic.
I think, you know, I always tell, I teach fifth grade.
Yeah.
And I talk to my kids all the time, and sometimes they're like, you know, if there was one word that you, and this is kind of how I live, it's enthusiasm.
Yeah.
If you can have enthusiasm in whatever you do, you're probably going to make it. And Jay just, when I see, like, when he's coaching games, and we, you know, obviously we didn't play at Merrimack this year, but when that's kind of where I saw him. Yeah. If Jay was playing, I was watching, and I was watching Jay because just the enthusiasm.
You go to a team camp at UMSL or Belleville Area College, SWCC now, and he's coaching Webster the same way.
Right.
He's coaching in March against Chaminade for the state championship,
and that's how he's wired.
And
that's just how he is. How do you think? I'll put you on the spot here. How do you think he not put up, but
One word for you. Cartier
Gordon. How did all that transpire? Because if he couldn't make it at SLU that long, and we don't know really what happened, but I kind of know what happened, and I know that the guys at SLU were just tired of his antics, and he wasn't showing up on time. I just find it hard to believe that Jay was able to do that for so long with that kid. And do you have any take on Cartier?
It was a challenge, no question. But, you know, you're kids, and you're a teacher, you're a parent sometimes, you're a mentor. You wear a lot of different hats.
Well, and here's the thing,
basketball coach.
I try to tell people all the time is, you know, I have an assistant in Justin Faust who obviously was a 1,000-point scorer, but he's not an educator.
Mm-hmm.
So we have some players at times, he's like, I don't know how you do it, just get rid of them. You know, and I'm like, well, first off, you know, he's a State Farm guy. He works for State Farm. We're educators.
Yeah.
So we don't want kids to fail. And we're going to try to give them every opportunity we can, unless the law gets involved. You know, if the law gets involved or they do something outside of school, then we don't have. But we want to try to have these kids, no matter if you think they're this, that, or the other. We're going to do everything we can to what I call get them to the finish line. And I'm sure Jay did that.
Yeah.
But, you know, Cartier is now going to DePaul. But have you seen any difference in the team chemistry at SLU without him? Or
no, I mean, it hurt us. He's talented.
Very talented.
It hurt our front court depth, and there's no doubt about it. I think we've lost so many kids in the last couple of years that I think it's really been a next man up mentality.
They're kind of used to
there. Yeah, and you still got to play ball. You got to play a schedule. One thing Spoon told me years ago, you know, this was after Clagg and Highmark, all those guys graduated, and then we were kind of rebuilding.
Right.
And he had to retool, and I asked him about that. What do you think about it? And he goes, oh, we got to play. We got a schedule to play. We got new guys and everything. And I tell you one other thing. He goes, nobody else cares about your problems.
That's what true.
He said. Nobody cares.
No.
Because everybody else got their own problems. They're dealing with whatever, injuries, transfers, or everybody. So,
well, and sometimes I think about that as a coach. Like, I come home, and I'm talking to my wife about a minor issue that I'm having, and I'm thinking to myself, no one cares about my problem.
Yeah.
problems. They got, their problems are 10 times.
They're still trying to beat you.
Yeah, right.
You're trying to beat them.
Exactly.
So yeah, but you guys commiserate and you know, your friends, they understand because you're all going through the same thing. You're all in the same
boat.
You know, but you know, it's all said and done. You know.
What do you got, Lou? Anything else?
So here's two questions for you for high school basketball. One, name the top five players to come out of St. Louis high school basketball that you've seen. Just top five.
Top five ever?
Mm-hmm.
Or during my 33 years?
During your 33
years. During my 33 years, okay.
For 33 years, during
my, during my 33 years, okay. We'll go with...
Pat Stein, huh?
The order. Yeah. Craig Upchurch of Beaumont.
Okay.
That's 1987. He was Jason Tatum before there was Jason Tatum.
Oh, gotcha.
He's a 6'8 guard. Nice. Jason Tatum, of course,
right.
was a great player. Bradley Beal is a great player.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Hughes is a great player. Probably LaPhonso Ellis.
I think so. That's a great five.
Yeah.
And then name
the Darius Miles was pretty good.
He was really good.
That's what
you could
right
name, you could have 20 names.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know.
How about you? Can you name the top five high school basketball teams from St. Louis in your 33 years?
Yeah, I think I come close. I think the top two or three, there was Vashon in 1988. They had like 9 or 10 Division I players. They won a state championship. And East St. Louis Lincoln in that same year with LaPhonso Ellis, Vincent Jackson, Vonzo Martin, Chris Rogers, James Harris.
Right.
Those were two were head and shoulders above everybody. After that, you got, you know, there's so many great teams.
Right.
So many
great teams. It's hard to put into it.
You know, like a team of great shooters. Borgia, 1995.
Tough.
94. 94 was a best shooting team. I had Ben Condelbender, Herbie Dill, Nathan Phillip, Josh Holt. I mean, all of them.
We used to go down there and play. Yeah, that was the, like, we'd drive down there and our legs would be, the whole time, that whole drive, we're just like, are they going to make 15 threes or 10
threes?
They'd
score 80, 90, 100. You know, Cardinal Ritter had those great teams.
Lauren Woods and Carroll.
And Chris and Jahidi and all those.
Do you remember how that came together? Like, I don't because I'm too young.
Not really.
I just said so long ago.
You know, there was, I mean, you know, Chaminade, this last championship team was very good with Tatum, Tyler Cook, Mikey Lewis, Will, Big Will.
Right.
Jericho Helms coming off the bench, State, ACC player, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Carrington Davis, Nebraska.
Right.
Yeah, those guys,
coming off bench,
not getting
D1.
A lot of clock. You know, I think, you know, out here in St. Charles, obviously, those 94 and 95 teams. I think West probably was better in 94.
They were
the team that didn't win it.
And 95, they'll tell you that.
Yeah, Blake, Ryan. Right. They were Shimwell. That team was good.
Shimmy.
The 95 team though. You know,
they had the experience.
A little year. Ryan was a senior. Wasn't going to be denied that year. But I think the 94 team was probably a little more talented. Trying to think of other.
That's a good one.
Francis Howell had a great team in the early 80s with Dale Rankin. But I was in college then.
Right.
Boomer had some squads at Francis
Boomer,
Howell.
Remember
he did. Oh, yeah. Winsfield had some squads. You know,
who was the Winsfield guard back in the day? Early 90s?
That's Brian Basich.
Brian Basich. Because I remember I was about 10 years old watching him play against our guys, Mark Breckenridge and guys that went to West. And he was a stud.
Yep.
He could light it up.
Yeah, but that, West Glenn with Paul Lasker. I mean, it was just, you know.
On and on.
You know, Highmark's team at Parkway West, Riverview, you know, we had just so many good teams. But I think that was Sean Lincoln team, so it kind of
topped it off.
Topped it off.
How does the Vashon team this year stack up to other Vashon teams in their history?
It's still incomplete because we'll see how they do. Down, you know, those teams, you know, finish the job. This team's very talented.
This is probably
Tony's most talented athletic team. Now, his two state championship teams were just grizzled, tough, kind of, you know, they had Peanut, Daniel Ferris at the point guard, was a great point guard. Levi was a big physical post. They just had good leadership on that court. This team is more full court athletic run.
Do you think it's a harder team to coach? probably with that many kids that are pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. I mean, it could be a challenge, no question, because they got about 10 of them that are pretty good. Mario's
I'll take one.
I'll take the problem. Cameron Fletcher is going to be a really
good.
He's got a chance to be one of the next ones.
Okay.
Coming from like 6'7" wing. Great athlete. But yeah, it's still, I mean, his dad had, and like I say, the 88 team was great. The 86 team with Bonner and that crew won a championship. The 02 teams with Jimmy McKinney, Nick Kern, they were good. That three-peat.
Right.
You know, he just, you know, those were, you know, you're trying to stack up against some big time history there.
So I think we're pretty close to the end here, Chuck.
A couple games coming up. You want to preview this week?
Yeah, we got a couple games of preview this week. Start out with girls basketball. This is the Webster Winter Challenge this week.
Yes.
And the top few seeds are Rockbridge, Incarnate Word, Parkway Central, Troy, and Ladue. That's stacked.
That's a good tournament. I think Incarnate Word's probably a cut above everybody else. In past years, those teams, when Incarnate would come through with Nafisa, Rockbridge had Sophie, and the other teams were really good, but those teams were national level teams.
Right, it's a different level.
It's a different level. This team, you got a good squad. Obviously, Incarnate, I think, is the favorite.
The Red Army.
Yeah, but Parkway Central has played well this year. They actually got to the Viz Finals and played Incarnate. Jayla Kelly is really good, 6'3 junior. Ladue has a nice team, coached by my buddy Rich Gray, a little girl, Pete, nice point guard. Troy's got some nice players as well.
Was it them or Parkway North that won the Lebanon tournament? That was yesterday.
I know they played each other. I don't know who ended up winning
that
game.
That's a cool gym.
It is. Oh, Parkway that's North. Great gym. Yeah. That's a great gym.
Parkway North's awesome. The only team last year in the state of Missouri to beat Incarnate. And I was at that game.
And I was Amaya Stovall basically beat Incarnate. They actually beat Incarnate and Kirkwood, the two state champions from Flats 4 and 5.
In the same week, I think.
Yeah, same week. Yeah, she's a freshman at DePaul.
I think you should just have him go with you.
He's good. Lou. Yes.
You might have the Lou time update. He might be competing with you.
Yeah, some games this week. There's some really good ones. Got the rematch of Chaminade, the Smet.
Yeah.
That's going to be good.
Yeah, that was a heartbreaker.
Where's that going to be played at?
This will be at the Smet this time. Yeah, Chaminade looking for revenge. Yeah, that first game was when Evan hit the half-court shot after they were down by 21.
Yes.
So,
another
MCC game. The Smet needs that game to try to
get themselves back.
Keep pace with CBC.
Okay.
Because CBC's
they 5-1.
They're undefeated.
Undefeated, okay.
Yeah, and they've already got the one win over the Smet, too.
Right.
So February 15th, I'll be over there. So the Smet needs to kind of win that game if they want to get a chance to maybe tie CBC.
I can't imagine playing in that conference. But maybe we've obviously already talked to Walshy about it, but golly.
I know.
No thanks.
Every year.
You have to pay me $50,000 to coach that
every
conference.
Game, yeah.
Another game. Got McClure North and Ladue.
That's going to be a good game. Ladue has kind of got the better of McClure North last couple of years. McClure North was small but very quick, very athletic.
It's kind of two different teams.
And they get up and down, but Ladue's been able to kind of slow the pace down.
Right.
They got good sides. And then Jalen Boyd handles the pressure pretty well. He's been playing strong the last...
He's been around forever.
Yeah, he's just a junior, too.
Yeah.
But he got Big Moses. I mean, Big Moses had a...
Moses.
Is he turning it on?
Oh, Webster.
Right.
He put a thumping on Webster at 18. I think his best game of him and Evan Schneider give him a big low post combination. And not only big, but thick guys. And then Boyd and Bryce Buster is shooting it and McIntosh. So that's just the contrast of styles.
You can't guess that outcome.
Yeah.
You just got to go. Got to go watch it and see what happens.
Yep.
And then the other one out here, this side of the river, got Zumwalt South and Liberty.
That's going to be a good one, too.
Do they play Tuesday or Friday?
They play Friday, and then they play next week on Thursday.
So where's Friday's game at?
Liberty.
That'll be a fun atmosphere.
That's going to be a fun game. I wish I was in town. I'd go to see that. I got to leave for Rhode Island. But, yeah, I mean, you got premier talent. I mean, Jace Catchings is good. EJ Bellinger, Schwepker could shoot it.
Atmosphere at Liberty is always cool.
I know. I haven't actually been to Liberty's gym, so I need to get there.
It's a fun place. And their kids are, I think they're, not a newer school, but at the same time, they do a good job of, I've just seen things online. You know, they do a good job. That's going to be a great atmosphere.
That's going to be a fun game.
Because they want South to bring kids. And they'll chant their coaches' names and they'll give them the holler. I think that's the funniest thing. Bass, 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 bass. That just gets me every time. I don't know if I want my fans to do that or not, but hey.
Now, do you have a fat head yet? Do you have
not yet? Fat head? I haven't seen a Stein fat head yet.
No, okay.
But you know,
the players got.
We've had some fat head players. Okay. Right? We had Trent, didn't we?
No fat head yet.
We had some soccer. Yeah, we had all our seniors.
Okay. That's when you know you've made it. When you get the fat head in the stands.
I didn't realize Trent was a beast on the soccer field too.
First team all state.
Yeah, I didn't. Man, that's.
And he, you know. He just brings so much to the school, and we've talked about that several times, but, you know, led the team in assists. He did a lot of things. He's one of those kids that, you know, he didn't have to play soccer.
Yeah.
But he did. Next thing you know, you're
well, I seen him on the track last year because my nephew's a triple jumper, and they
He's played five sports at our school. I think he just shows up, and the coaches are like, oh, you go do that. Mm-hmm. You know, he played baseball, and he's done everything, so.
That's good, isn't it?
That's what makes public schools successful.
That's really good.
You got to have your athletes play everything.
If you don't,
you're going to be average. We tell our kids that all the time, you know. Any more games or anything coming up this week?
No, not really.
Well,
for West fans, we got the farm on Friday.
We got the farm on Friday. And you know what? That's at Orchard Farm, and that's always it's a fun place to play.
Let's not have power grow at this time.
No, it's a fun place to play. They're always, you know, obviously me teaching there. That's always one of those games. I can't wait for it to be over. You know,
all the fifth grade kids coming to you, Mr. Steinhoff.
Yeah, they'll be on me, and you know, I'll be happy to get to Tubby's that night about 10:30 after the game. But Earl, is there anything else you want to tell our viewers about Earl Time Update or anything, or where we can find you at? Or
no, well, you can find me like I say in the St. Louis American on Thursdays. That's a free paper, and it's in the city. And obviously, Earl Time Updates on my Twitter account at Earl Austin Jr. # Earl Time Update, and I'll be here in St. Charles on Tuesday night.
Okay.
I got Francis Howell Central at Francis Howell North girls game.
Gotcha.
It was a big one. I did the girls game with Howell Central and Zumi North last week.
Last week, yeah.
So I'll be back here again. So yeah, I'll be at games almost.
Well, you know nightly. What I mean. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you the energy. And I mean, for you to come to my house on a night like tonight, with how busy you are, just tells me the kind of person you are. And we're thankful to have you in the high school setting.
I really appreciate you having me over. This has been a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it tonight.
Thank you so much. So this is Chuck, Earl Austin, and Lou.